Hello and welcome to Ladylike Women Who Made It to Moon, the show all about women, diversity, and feminism in pop culture. This is Ladylike and I'm your host, Rita Baig. With blockbusters like Wonder Woman and Black Panther crushing it at the box office, it's apparent that the motion for Hollywood to become more inclusive of women and people of color should be a ticket to success. However, there's still a lingering hesitation of its big companies should take that leap. Today on Ladylike, we're going to be discussing the role of women in cinema, specifically the action genre. My guest today is Monica Montoya, someone who does everything behind the scenes in the film industry. Hey, Monica. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. It's hot.
It's hot outside. Yeah.
Jeez.
This is Pierce College Valley weather for you.
Yeah. I mean, I live in Pasadena, so coming down here was like stepping into a hot cauldron with like a bunch of witches just brewing over. It's ridiculous.
All right. So let's get started here. What does film and cinema mean to you?
Jeez, hitting me with the hard question.
Yeah, just go right in there.
Honestly, film is a really, really great avenue for people to kind of just vomit all over something. So you have it's one of my favorite forms of collaboration. My first favorite form of collaboration is theater. Mm-hmm. And film is kind of a derivative of that. It's pretty you have all of these different people with all these different ideas and all these different values and just visions, and you smush it all together into this one amazing 2-hour solid film, and you leave the theater thinking about life differently, you're thinking about yourself differently, and that's when you've seen a good film. And that's probably my favorite part about film, and what I think is most important is just having a place for a bunch of different people to just vomit all over something and create something that leaves the audience feeling different.
That's such a beautiful answer. Is there a specific movie that you saw, or like a theater production you saw, that triggered that, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life, I see myself making something like this?
Jeez, I think when I was really, really little, I used to do theater at the Madrid Theater. Both of my parents like threw me into that world, and they kept shooting commercials around that area, and I was always like, what's that? Mm-hmm. Like what is that camera, like what does it do, what is this boom mic, what does it do? And it's just me asking questions as a kid to like random strangers and them answering me with complete confidence, like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is this kind of camera, this is a Canon like something or whatever, and giving me all that knowledge and being so keen to give me that knowledge, it was actually really, really cool. Same with theater, like your teachers are always there to give you guidance and to give you answers. You're never left with an unanswered question. Mm-hmm. Same thing in film. If you go to film school, your teachers are there to give you knowledge about film. Your teachers are there to answer your questions. If you have a question about a certain film, like your teachers are there to answer the hard-hitting questions about why this film is so intricate, why this film was shot a certain way to give a certain message. Like, it's cool. It's a community of people who want to answer your questions, and that's my biggest thing. I love asking questions, and I love having them answered. And I think so. When I was little, I think just being around the Madrid Theater and being around literally just people shooting a bunch of commercials, really just made me want to go into theater and film.
That's awesome. So, if you don't mind me asking, what gender do you identify yourself as?
I am female.
Do you think as a female, did you ever feel like you were underrepresented? Or?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Are you kidding me? I did like the tiniest bit of like assistant work for music supervision, at Capitol Studios, and I would take one look around every single time we would do a session for like Elena Vavalor, mm-hmm. or anything on Disney Junior. I would look around and basically only see a bunch of white men.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it.
And I was can like, you explain what Elena of Avalor is?
Elena of Avalor is a kids' TV show on Disney Junior. It's about a princess named Elena, and she's the only Latina princess out from Disney right now. And she's pretty great.
And only white men have been.
Yeah, and so this is a Hispanic princess, a woman of color, and the songs written for her are by white men. And everything about the show is amazing. Mm-hmm. There are incredible trumpet players and incredible people who arrange music that are Latino and are phenomenal. But there's still that gap. There's still the gap of looking around the room and realizing you're the only woman there. There's still the gap of looking around the room and noticing you're the only Latina there. You know, my dad was just hiking the PCT, and he made the joke to all his white friends who were there. He was the only Mexican there. He was like, yeah, like I jumped the border and then I just started hiking, and they all believed him. And he was like, no, I'm a citizen. But they all believed him. Like it was funny because they all like looked around and realized that he was the only Mexican hiking the PCT with them. Mm-hmm. So there is a gap like everywhere, not just in film or cinema, but in art and TV and music and movies, everywhere. There's this huge gap. I mean, in the past 10 years, only 3% of films had a Latino lead in them.
I know.
It's been 10 years. Like, UCLA Diversity Report, I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, you have what is it, like 200, 250 movies made in the past 10 years?
Exactly.
And 3% are 3% of the leads are Latino? Mm-hmm. And I don't even want to know about the statistics for women. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, but... On a lighter note, do you ever, when you see something, have you ever seen anything where you do feel represented, where you're like, okay, this is about women have made this, Latina women have made this? Have you ever felt that way in any form of art?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, Jane the Virgin, Gina Rodriguez.
Yes, amazing.
Amazing. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Anything with Rita Moreno. Anything with her.
Oh,
in it.
Lovely.
Anything. The creator of Jane the Virgin is a woman, and she writes everything. She gives people jobs. She gives people opportunities to just be in the show and write. She gave Gina Rodriguez the opportunity to direct. Movie that just came out, Annihilation, came mm-hmm. out in like February. Amazing sci-fi film. Huge blockbuster sci-fi film.
I love that movie.
Love that movie.
But on the note of that movie, mm-hmm. speaking of which, it's an all-female lead. And it's not women in that normal submissive role. It's strong women.
Strong, independent women.
Yeah.
In military positions, in scientist positions.
Exactly.
Like, kind of just going out there and seeing for themselves what's going on in this world. And Natalie Portman, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson.
Oh, my God.
Amazing actresses.
Acting. But as you can see, that thing is in demand. Well, for me, at least. I like mm-hmm. going to the movie theater and seeing an all-female lead. But... It didn't do well at the box office.
It didn't. And it didn't get an international release.
Yeah, it was just put on Netflix.
It was just thrown onto Netflix, which is ridiculous. And it didn't get an international release because of the fact that it was an all-female cast, because of the fact that they had a diverse cast. Mm-hmm. They sat there, a bunch of white men just sat there and thought, because there's like, you know, Tessa Thompson and Gina Rodriguez in it, we don't really think it's going to do that well in the box office. We don't think it's going to do that well in the international market. So we're just not going to release it in the international market. We're going to throw it on Netflix.
Exactly. And we see that. Okay, so these remakes, like Ghostbusters, all-female.
Yes.
Now Ocean's, all-female.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that that's a good idea?
I think that it's a great idea. I think, you know what's so funny is I just saw Ghostbusters. I came out, like, what, a year and a half ago or something like that? I just saw it.
What did you think?
The new one. I thought it was hilarious in the dry like SNL-y humor. I thought it was so funny. I thought Melissa McCarthy was amazing.
She's amazing, yeah.
Oh, it was so funny, but in a different kind of way, and that's what people didn't like. I guess is just that it wasn't funny in the way that the original Ghostbusters was funny.
I mean, then again, if you look. This is going to lead to my next question, which is, if you look at the first Ghostbusters movie, which is all dudes, there's like various, you know, sexually implied jokes that
crude
and lewd to women. So do you think that from that moment where that movie came out in the 80s, do you think it's become better for women since then?
Mm-mm. American Pie.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. American Pie. You have to think about it. When you have any man shooting a film who has no sense of how women should be captured, their beauty, their strength, their essence, when you have a man behind a camera who has no vision whatsoever to create a woman who is strong and sensible and smart, and they only want to capture what they want to see, the male lens, yeah. which is just body. And there's this thing going around called, like, the headless woman of Hollywood, which are all these posters of just women's bodies. And yeah. it's crazy. There are thousands of movie posters.
Even movies, like, I've seen this whole theory. Mm-hmm. Even, like, big actresses like Rachel Weisz.
Huge actresses. Yeah. Heads cut off. And these are beautiful women.
Yeah, like, decorated mm-hmm. acting veterans that exactly. are being still subjected to this
and these like tiny they're like, oh, wear this like tiny little yellow bikini, like yeah. why can't she just be in like a one piece and focus on her acting,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter because it's through the male lens, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, people enjoy strong men in film, I mean it whatever, you know, Stanley Kubrick, mm-hmm. all of his leads were male. Or if he had female leads, it's his movies are very scary. They're very subjective. They're very intense. And people like that sort of thing. People like the strong male. People like Bond. And then there's yeah. Bond, and then there's the Bond girl.
Yeah.
But it's always Bond, mm-hmm. you know, and he's always a guy. There's no, like, female Bond, you know?
Yeah.
It's a dude. And people are into that. People are into male superheroes. I mean, Wonder Woman just came out, like, it just happened,
yeah,
and like if you look at the earlier Catwoman with like Halle Berry, that didn't really do all that well because yeah. people don't like it, people don't take to it that well,
yeah, but even with that, like if you look at Wonder Woman and if you look at Catwoman, mm-hmm. if you look at their compared to a male superhero, mm-hmm. they're in short skirts,
their sexuality yeah. is being completely like put on display, and like their boobs are up, yeah. and like they're wearing practically bathing suits as armor,
and then just like a buttload of butt shots,
just tons,
yeah,
tons up the leg, like slow pan up yeah, the leg, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
So it's like we want, there's this effort to make women, but there's also the terms and conditions.
Yeah, it's like terms and conditions apply. Yeah. Must have nice breasts. Skinny. Must be skinny. Must be a Caucasian, or if not, must have cute accent that yeah. we can like, yeah. you know, just put out there. And like, I mean, people love Sofia Vergara, but they love her because she's like hot and like mm-hmm. has like a funny accent, and they subject her to these kinds of things. And people don't understand. She's an incredible actress. Yeah. She's got chops.
Yeah.
But they don't care because she's got the big boobs and she's got the accent. Funny accent. She's like the fiery yeah. Latina. Like,
on Modern Family.
Let's get rid of that stereotype. Let's get rid of the stereotype of women, of Latina women in maid costumes and Latina women being like, I clean. Like,
yeah.
let's get rid of that. Like, what's going on here? You know, let's get strong, independent women mm. on film who have something to say.
Exactly. And what I like about what you're saying is the fact that you're talking about diversity. Mm-hmm. In my last show, it was right after the Oscars.
Oh, man.
And Emma Stone had said something when she was presenting for Best Director. Did you hear about this?
I had an Oscars party. So
you saw everything.
Oh, by
right?
the way, I had an Oscars party, and it was at me and my boyfriend's apartment. And me and my two girlfriends were the only like Latina women there. Everyone else was white men from like his film school, clubs, like from Chapman and like NYU. White men came to the Oscar party, and I was like, all right. So when Coco like won for like best song, Remember Me, I was like, yeah, woo! Yeah. And like they were like, all right, I'm like, we don't know how to like identify with this. But so yeah, I did watch the Oscars.
And Emma Stone, when presenting for Best Director, she said, oh, four men and Greta Gerwig, who was the only female nominee.
Yeah.
But she ignored the fact that two of the men in that category was a black man.
Jordan Peele.
And a Hispanic man.
Jordan Peele and Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
And so...
Who I met, by the way.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I saw the back of his head. At the Hollywood Arclight, Shape of Water. There's an awkward picture of me and Doug Jones hugging.
Awesome.
I love The Shape of Water. It's a great film.
So how did you feel about Emma Stone saying that, just ignoring the fact that there was...
She's white, you know? Oh, yeah. Same with Emma Watson.
Oh, yeah.
She owned up to it, though. She owned up to the fact that she's white. She's only fighting for mm-hmm. white feminism. She owned up to that.
I'd love to see the receipt of that someday.
Yeah, I mean, truly. But she's a white woman fighting for white feminism. Completely disregarded the fact that she is A, white, and B, unaware of her privilege, and C, you know, forgot this entire demographic of Latina women, Asian women, black women. all of these women who are in minority groups, Native American women, who's talking about them?
Exactly.
Who's talking about their femininity? Who's talking about their feminism? No one. Because no one cares. You know? Especially, like, right now, everyone's focused on, like, the African American, like Black Lives Matter, all of that stuff. And all that attention is being put on white people who either agree with the movement or disagree with the movement.
Yeah, exactly.
And Latinos have a history of being, like, pretty complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we kind of just sit here and, like, let everything kind of, like, wash over us because a lot of Latinos have a fear of being deported.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. It's like an instilled fear from generations of just people risking their lives to cross the border to help have their children have a better life. People don't understand that. Mm-hmm. So if they speak up, they get scared because their families could get deported. If they're not citizens of the United States of America, they could be sent back to their country. And so they don't speak up. And it's, I mean, but right now it's okay because Black Panther just came out and where all the focus is on making sure that African Americans get their shot, and I'm all for it. 100%. But then you have all these Latinos getting completely left behind because no one's talking about them. No one's advocating for them.
Yeah.
You know, everyone should just stick together. All the minority groups should just stick together and advocate for themselves. Everyone.
Exactly.
For sure.
And this is something I've brought up before in the show, is that do you think that entertainment should advocate for diversity?
Oh, for sure.
That, personally, the way I see it is that entertainment is a reflection of society.
Mm-hmm.
So would you agree with that, or do you have other thoughts on the matter?
I think when you're talking about, like, art imitates art, like the media should be a reflection of society, mm-hmm. like entertainment should be a reflection of society, I think society is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you think about society and our values and how they're so shifty.
Yeah.
It's so shifty.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Tomorrow, someone could say, like, okay, now we're going to focus on identity, sexual identity. And then the next day, someone's like, we're going to focus on sexual assault in the workplace. And the next day, they're like, we're going to focus on, like, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
The next day, we're going to focus on the Chicano movement. Like, it's so shifty. Like, especially people, like white people specifically, they change their views because they want to be roped in with the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be roped in with the liberals and the people making a difference.
Yeah.
So fine. Completely, like, all for it. But it's changing your views. It's changing the way that you think about these people. It's changing the way that you use the camera to facilitate a viewpoint that has people in a place of power that have had their power stripped away from them by those very people who are making the movies, those very people who are making the legislation, those very people who are making the rules.
Yeah.
These white men, these white women who have all this privilege that they don't even know that they have,
mm-hmm.
or they've lived with it for their whole lives, they're so ignorant to it. If they just handed over the camera, if they just opened up their doors and had more opportunities for women of color in film or in television and music, if they just opened everything, I mean, the number one, like, one of the number one songs right now and have been, like, the song of the summer for the last year, besides Shape of You, it was Havana by a Cuban immigrant, Camila Cabello. You know, Despacito.
Yeah.
A Spanish song. Everyone loves it, right? No one knows that they're singing the song that, like, a bunch of Mexicans made, a bunch of Hispanics made.
There's this thing on the thing with white women have privilege. It's often said that white women have a glass ceiling, women of color have a brick wall.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, with going into Despacito and, like, all these songs made by, that are, have Latin influence.
Latin influence written by Latin American artists.
Would you say that this is cultural appropriation?
They're
taking advantage of a certain culture and using it to their advantage?
It's not even cultural appropriation. Queen of cultural appropriation, love her, but she's the queen of it. Vanessa Hudgens doesn't see that, like, the bindi on her head is like offending
and
someone.
The beehive is gonna come from
me.
Beyonce.
You know, all this stuff.
Yeah,
all this stuff. They're just ignorant. You know, white women are just ignorant, and they don't see it. They don't see that they're like dancing in the club to Despacito, and it was made by a Latin American artist, and it was made and pushed by Hispanics. And Havana was made by a Hispanic, was made by a Cuban American, was made by an immigrant. Like, they don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see that at all, because they just hear a fun beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in music, it's different. The lines are more blurred. you know, for people to create art. And for some reason, film, a billion plus dollar industry, they don't want to hand over the camera. They're cool with handing over the mic, but they're not cool with handing over the camera.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different avenue. It reaches a much wider audience.
And the thing with movies like Wonder Woman and Black Panther, I've noticed a trend where people are afraid to give their opinions on it. I don't know if you've ever caught on to this, but they're afraid that if they don't like, if they say, oh, I don't like Wonder Woman, then they hate women, or if they don't like Black Panther, then they're racist.
I'm gonna be super honest. I love Black Panther. I thought the first act was too long. I thought, like, from a filmmaker standpoint, and my boyfriend had the same idea. I thought the first act was way too long. I thought that the action didn't move forward until the second and third acts. But that's just from a filmmaking standpoint. That's just from the question of, is it a good movie? Yeah. Is it a good film? Is it made well? Is it structured well? I think that, and a lot of people agree, the first act was too long. Took too long to establish everything, which is cool. You want to hang out in the world of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I say that out loud and I don't say that the Black Panther was the second coming of Christ, everyone goes berserk.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I mean, I find the same way about Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, when I first saw it, I saw it later than everybody else. It was in an empty, small theater. It was just me and my other friend. And after I watched the movie, I was like, this is what everybody's going crazy for? Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought, for a DC movie, it was good.
Oh, my God. For a DC movie, it was gold. Yeah. It was gold. But
within, like, the efforts of the whole superhero trend nowadays, I think it sort of failed. It could have done better. And it kind of makes me fearful, because are we only advocating these movies because they are progressive?
It's like A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
All right? That was a bad movie. That was not a good... It wasn't amazing, you know, for the budget that it had, for the effects that it had. It wasn't amazing.
The cast it had, Oprah.
Still love the book. Think the book is phenomenal. Read the book a million times. The movie just fell flat for me. It felt flat for a lot of people. It's like I think, I don't know what the score is on Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm sure it's not like a 90, you know?
It's like a 42. Yeah. And the director was very upset, going on a Twitter tirade saying that nobody understood it. Okay. They're just protesting this movie.
It's not that no one understood it. The whole world understood the book, you know? But it's just, it's a matter of, like, is this movie good? And I had this conversation with my boyfriend. He was like, I'm going to go see A Wrinkle in Time because I want to support, like he's white. I want to support, like, women in color. I'm like, no. You know this movie's going to be bad. The filmmaker inside of you is telling you that this movie's going to be bad. But you're deciding to go just to support women of color. That's not what we want. Yeah. We want to make good movies that people know are going to be good and want to go see. We want to make movies that make money. We want to make movies that touch people in places, in those hard-to-reach places in the heart, you know. We want to make things that make people feel something. We don't want to make a mediocre movie with a huge budget and have white people go just because they feel bad.
Yeah.
We don't want to make a movie with a huge budget that white people go to because they feel obligated. We don't want your obligation. We want you to go because you know that we are also capable of making good movies. So I gave him that whole rant. He was like, okay.
I just want to give you a round of applause right now. Like, that was a great answer.
I was like, here. I handed him the book. I was like, read the book. or if you want to go see the movie, read the book. And then tell me if that works as a movie, which it doesn't. So,
and we're coming close to an end. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything to plug, anything you want to give a shout out to, now's your chance.
I have a production company called Debatable Productions, and you guys can go check it out at debatableproductions.com. And right now we're working on a short film that I'm producing. My boyfriend Aaron Daniel Jacob, he wrote it and he's directing it. And it features Bex Taylor Klaus, who is Paige on Voltron and was in The Killing Voltron. And Scream and all that. She was, I think, like the right leg of Voltron. I'm not really sure, but she's the green one. She's
green
the green
paladin,
dog.
Right leg.
Carolina Ravassa, who is the voice of Sombra in Overwatch.
Awesome.
And it's a sci-fi movie. It's about it's featuring a strong Latina woman in STEM. And it's featuring another woman in STEM, and they're basically teaming up together to figure out what this thing is it's based on the Black Knight satellite, which is a conspiracy theory, a UFO conspiracy theory, the Black Knight satellite, if you guys want to look it up. It's real scary. It's a short horror movie that's coming out probably sometime mid next year or this year, depending on how fast we can get it through post. But yeah, you guys can check it out on debatableproductions.com.
Awesome. All right, I want to thank you for that's Monica
yeah,
Montoya.
Hi.
Check out Debatable Productions. I'd also love to recommend my friend Kevin Barcinas' show, Men Don't Cry.
Men Don't Cry.
That'll give you the whole male perspective. And you're listening to Ladylike on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Rita Bake.